Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Raven Mad, welcome in the beginning of another week of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we look for Aladdin's lamp. Where is it? Coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the bell, as we ring the bell all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwood. So I had every intention of doing a deep dive on the Sunday night football game. I said, why not? It's the Chiefs and the Broncos, and it's the big made-for-TV matchup. That's the biggest game of the weekend. Television dictates the biggest game, and that is the Sunday night game. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth calling the game. But the fact that this was a boat race situation and just not good talk radio, not good talk radio. So we will defer till a later date to talk about the Chiefs beating the Broncos 22-9 in a lackluster Sunday night football game. So our lead to begin the festivities comes out of the Steel City, because that was good. That was a good game. We had a come-from-behind situation, an AFC divisional slobber knocker. The Ravens traveling some 247 miles from Baltimore to Pittsburgh, and there they were, division rivals, head-to-head, face-to-face, nose-to-nose, eye-to-eye, and if you saw the game, you know what happened. If not, perhaps you were doing some other things. Ben Roethlisberger waking up out of the cemetery for two fourth-quarter touchdown passes, his second fourth-quarter touchdown pass to Deontay Johnson, and the two-point conversion, giving Pittsburgh a 20-13 lead. So less than 2 minutes remaining in the game. And then the Ravens came back. Lamar Jackson leading Baltimore back down, and he converted a touchdown pass to Sammy Watkins with 12 seconds remaining. So you make the call. At this point, it's a 20-19 game. The Steelers leading by one. You have the greatest kicker in NFL history if you're Baltimore and you have the better roster of players. Do you kick the extra point and tie the game and try your luck in overtime, or do you go for the win? Well, in this situation, John Harbaugh said, you know what? I'm going for the win. Two-point conversion, and yeah. No good. And the Steelers hold on for a 20-19 win over the Ravens. So Baltimore drops to 8-4. Pittsburgh improves to 6-5-1 with the win. The Steelers still out of the playoffs here. The better story in the losing locker room. So let us discuss. Does the outcome of this game, here's the question, does the outcome of this game, the loss, say more about John Harbaugh and his decision-making or more about Lamar Jackson and his execution? So the arrow is pointing towards Lamar Jackson in this one. I've got steeplechase, handy downs, and backhanded. And we'll line all of these things up like dominoes. We're going to knock them down. Now to kick off festivities here, Lamar Jackson, if you look at his report card here, the report card is mixed. There are some A's, there are some B's, there's also some C's and D's on the report card. And just at the end of the game, if you're only going to focus on that and the game-deciding plays, he did, on a positive, orchestrate an 8-play, 65-yard drive with a minute 36 to go in the game and took the Ravens down into the end zone and found Sammy Watkins to set up what should have been a game-tying extra point. But then they went for it on the two-point conversion. And this is where the report card starts going the wrong direction. This is where you want to make sure that your parents don't see the report card, because the perfect play call was made. And It was set up right there. Open receiver can waltz in for the game-winning score. Mark Andrews, the tight end, and Lamar Jackson. It's like a trap door opened up and swallowed him up as he failed to complete not a three-yard pass. That was about a three-foot pass to his tight end, Mark Andrews, for the two-point conversion. And he threw it way too far ahead of Andrews. And Andrews, now he did get his hand on it, but it was too far ahead to catch it. And the ball bounced, and that's it. And so the Steelers get the win as the ball sailing like a kite on a kind of a breezy day at the park there in front of Andrews. So game, set, and match. And so continues a disheartening stretch of football from Lamar Jackson. Now, this is taboo, and we bring this up, and nobody else wants to bring this up because he's an MVP. And when you win an MVP, you're allowed to suck for an extended period of time, and people aren't supposed to talk about it. I guess that's the rule. I'm breaking the rule. But in a season designed for what? This was made to be a Lamar Jackson contract push that he didn't get the forever contract. He didn't get the massive extension. That he is still waiting for that. He's playing out the year here, seeing whether or not his play can sway the Ravens to sign on the dotted line. And here's another opportunity in a contract push that missed it by that much. All right, the steeplechase of the NFL. It's not going. There's a lot of ups and a lot of downs and a lot of hopping and all that and muddy waters. Muddy waters all over the steeplechase. Lamar Jackson has been bedraggled and staggered over the past month and a half. Now, it's not just the eyeball test, it's the numbers as well. And that's my evidence. Let's go to the statistics. The last six games, Lamar Jackson is averaging 6.3 yards per pass attempt, has 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. His passer rating is below 75. That's down in the Jared Goff suck out loud, take a ride on the vomit comet. For Lamar Jackson. The numbers of a woozy quarterback, certainly not the kind of statistics that would lead you to want to pay that quarterback with a massive amount of money. And the sacks keep piling up. Lamar Jackson, 7 sacks against the Steelers on Sunday. He's been sacked 24 times over the last 6 games. And it's not like the running game has made up for the lack of the passing game. And if you look at how he's been running the ball over the last 6 games, he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry. He's got over 400 yards, but it's not like, wow, this is making up for all the mistakes in the passing game. That's not it at all. So you've got to think the Ravens right now are not hot and heavy to sign this guy to an extension. And he's losing money by the week and outplayed late in the game by the rotting carcass of Ben Roethlisberger. Blasphemy. That is a football sin that Ben Roethlisberger outperformed you in the fourth quarter of that game. And it's not like Lamar was terrible in the fourth quarter, but Ben Roethlisberger was better. All right, furthermore. So John Harbaugh, we pivot to John Harbaugh, and he's got some equity in Baltimore, and he showed the world that he knows the Ravens' defense is like a wildfire that is out of control bad, right? You have no containment on the Ravens' defense. It is paper thin, and he wanted no part of having to depend on that defense in overtime. And he said, yeah, I'm going to give the ball. I'm going to trust Lamar Jackson. I'm going to give him the opportunity to win or lose the game. And so the X's and O's part of it, whoever called up that play, whoever dialed up the mother of all plays, the play was perfect. The execution was not. But the fact that Mark Andrews was open on that play, the play was there to be made, and John Harbaugh trusted Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson did not deliver in that in that situation. And it's a clear no-confidence vote, though. That's the interesting thing for the Baltimore defense. John Harbaugh's actions, they didn't whisper. They screamed that as a head coach, he knows that piecemeal defense is the weakest link. The Ravens came into the game with the NFL's worst pass defense. They were ranked 32nd in the NFL. And most of this game, though, it was not a problem. Ben Roethlisberger, the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger, showed up late in the game. But think about the decision, though. A Harbaugh, he said, I think so little of the handy downs on my defense. And that's really what they are, right? The handy down, it's like wearing underwear that's got holes in it. That's the Ravens defense right now. And he did indicate the loss of Marlon Humphrey from the secondary was the final blow that pushed him over the edge. But you've got the great kicker. You've got the better, supposedly the better quarterback in this game, and you did not want any part of that in an overtime. That is a, wow, bumpity bump ago the Ravens. Now, the last thing here. So Mike Tomlin, he had an interesting take after the game, giving the ultimate backhanded compliment to a division rival. Tomlin, when asked whether or not the Steelers were surprised that Baltimore would go for two on the road with Lamar Jackson and with the great kicker and all that, and Tomlin said that he claimed, this might be bravado, that the Ravens, he figured, were going to go for 2 points. Now, why is that? Is it because they were injured? No. No, it's not. Is it because they didn't trust their kicker? Of course not. No. None of that. Mike Tomlin claimed the reason that the Steelers figured that Baltimore was going to go for it was the A word, analytics. And Tomlin, this is where the backhanded compliment comes in. Tomlin said they, meaning the Ravens, aggressively play analytics. And so from that standpoint, they're predictable. Close quote. Isn't the whole point of analytics to not be predictable? Here's Tomlin saying, you know what? Those idiots over there, they play this analytics so much. And that's a great quote because it's also true in other sports, especially baseball, that as a fan watching these games, when it comes to the analytics, you know the percentages and you know that if the teams go by the book, what they're going to do. And that's what Tomlin was saying, was that John Harbaugh is so obsessed with these analytics that, of course, the Ravens were going to go for two. The way that Tomlin stated it, it had nothing to do with the injury, that it wasn't because of Humphrey's injury. It was just that the odds indicate, the data says that you're supposed to go for two in that situation. Talk about a kick to the shins. And Baltimore's so obsessed with the analytics that they have now become easy to read. You might want to walk that back a little bit. The Ravens were only 2 of 5 on two-point conversions entering play on Sunday. They had not attempted one since week 6, so it's been a while. But as for Pittsburgh, the Steelers, now it's great that they got to play the full 4 quarters because they were down 10-3 going into the final stands. And if you had seen this game, if you watched this from pillar to post, Ben Roethlisberger was not only a quarterback, he was garbage for 75% of this game. But all of that is forgotten because he woke up like the phoenix rising from the ashes in the fourth quarter. And Roethlisberger had, I believe it was 107 yards passing going to the fourth quarter. The Steelers had 3 points. He then puts up a perfect passer rating in the fourth quarter, 129 yards and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 9 out of 10, as he was matriculating the ball down the field, averaged almost 13 yards per attempt. And so the Steelers back over 500. They get some help. Cincinnati lost, but Cincinnati's going to have to keep losing because the Steelers lost both games to Cincinnati. Pittsburgh plays at Minnesota on Thursday. Mike Tomlin's team is the last team out of the postseason in the American Football Conference. And Tomlin also had some fun poking the NFL insiders. There was that report over the weekend, a breathless report from Adam Schefter, that Ben Roethlisberger is planning to retire after the season, which I think has been pretty well documented, but it was reported as new news. So very, very exciting, unless it's not very exciting. Anyway, let's hear from the participants. We'll hear from John Harbaugh, the man, the myth, the legend here. Here's John Harbaugh, who loves the rivalry.
Great rivalry, and have a lot of respect for them and what they do. So they won, and they deserved it.
Okay, that was a by-the-book sports cliche filled soundbite. Here's another one from John Harbaugh. You hear the question and the answer, and I think I gave this one away, but here's Harbaugh commenting on the decision to go for two at the end of the game.
What went into the decision-making to go for two instead of just kicking?
Try to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
So he says that, but Ben Roethlisberger had played against everyone and been terrible against everyone until the fourth quarter. It's like, didn't Marlon Humphrey get hurt in the second quarter? I thought he got hurt earlier in the game. It wasn't until the fourth quarter that all hell broke loose and the Ravens couldn't cover anyone. Here's Lamar Jackson, who had it, missed him by this much. He had a receiver, the tight end Andrews, open for the game-winning score, and here's Lamar on that.
Oh, it rapped to him. I just put it on his chest. You know, I couldn't do that just because, you know, TJ Watt got range. You know, he's a long guy. But, you know, I just had to throw around him and try to make something happen. That's all. And we just came up short.
There you go. Blame it on TJ Watt. Not my fault. TJ Watt, blame him. It's his fault.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Waking up from the slumber. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we are all show and no go, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the pursuit, the trivial pursuit of Jock Talk, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the North Woods. And we are back at it again this hour in our lead coming from the Los Angeles area in the hood in Inglewood, a stadium that will be playing host to the Super Bowl in a few months in February of 2022. And so early February, so we're a couple months away from the big event on the calendar. And the Rams looking to get back on track against Jacksonville. Chances are you did not watch this game. It was not a nationally prominent game. It was expected to be a blowout, and it was a blowout, in case you missed it. Matthew Stafford lighting up Jacksonville, 295 yards, and not one, not two, but three touchdowns as the Rams curb-stomped the Jags 37-7, the final at SoFi Stadium. Sony Michel, the expat, running for 121 yards. And he didn't really break a sizable run until the final carry, final run of the game for him. Late in the game, he had like a 25-yard run or something like that. But most of the runs were not that long. But he ended up with 121 yards and a touchdown. And the Rams get off the schneid and improve to 8-4. And they end the three-game losing streak. The Jags drop to 2-10 for Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer. But the focus here is on the Rams, and I really felt bad for the trolls. It was a tough Sunday for the trolls. Really could take that one out and you know, kind of tap out of things for 24 hours. But let's discuss the question, are the Rams back on track now, or are the Jags just terrible? So are the Rams back on track, or are the Jags just terrible? The arrow on this one is pointing towards the Jags just being puke. Okay, now I've got Witch's Brew, 1990s rock band, and commuter car. And we will combine all of these things together, and that will be the foundation of the nation for this Maller monologue. So number one. This was just what the doctor ordered for the Rams. The Rams, they went online. They said, I hear my symptoms. Doc, help me out. And the doc said, well, let me look here. It says you had November nausea. You had no win November and all that. And you're heading towards the doorway to disaster. So you need to take a couple of these things and get that foul taste out of your mouth. Mission accomplished. The Rams have the top record. They're tied for the top record in the NFL in the month of December. They are as good as anyone in the month of December. Playing Jacksonville was the bubbling witch's brew, just the spell that you needed. Now, regardless of that, it is nothing to shout about and dance and celebrate good times, because you don't get swagger back by drawing blood from dropping a tomato can off the side of a building. You don't get any excitement out of that. Matthew Stafford was bedazzling in this game. He played like the guy who was leading the MVP race in the NFL after eight games. We've talked about that if the season had ended after 8 weeks, Matthew Stafford would have been the MVP. And then he went into a slump, and now he's getting out of it. 295-yard day, three touchdowns for Stafford, taking advantage of the frosting on top of the Jag cake. Nice little cupcake Jacksonville has. Cooper Kupp scampering up and down the field. Odell Beckham scoring another touchdown. Well, that's tough now. Two games in a row, OBJ has gone end zone, found pay dirt for the Rams. The top three receivers all scoring touchdowns. It was, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, that kind of day. Now, secondly, while you don't gain any swag from beating Jacksonville, the most important development, in my observation, on the Rams-Jacksonville game was that Sean McVay started to address some of the issues that the Rams have had the last few weeks, and he's adjusting. That's what great coaches do. They tweak as the season goes on, and you iron out the kinks. And the Rams, it's hard to know if it's going to work or not, but based on at least the effort, they were trying to break the bad habits that they had fallen into. And they had become a finesse team. And Sean McVay trying to put his foot down on that, make some alterations, change the mindset. And rather than just blindly having three receivers out on the field 95-99% of the time, the Rams went jumbo. They went jumbo package multiple times early in the game, using two tight ends by Rams standards. This is like a 1990s band, Smash Mouth, right? All-star. Bring the Smash Mouth football. Sony Michel running early and often, attempting to strike some balance on offense, keeping the opposing team honest, at least giving future opponents something to think about. And if the Rams can bottle this, and it's a big if, but should they be able to, while this is not a game you get your swag back, it's going to scare the rest of the NFL. Because if the Rams can shift from finesse to physicality and become a multi-dimensional offensive operation, then when the Rams eventually are going to have to go on the road in the playoffs because of the fact they're going to be a wild card team, more likely than not based on the losing streak, then you're going to have to go into Lambeau Field and win a game in a cold environment. You're going to have to go into some other places where the weather is not ideal for a West Coast, I say dome team, but according to the NFL, the Rams don't play in a dome, even though there's a roof on SoFi Stadium. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, but it certainly helped that the Rams were up comfortably, and that allowed them to run. All right, final point. So on the other side, Urban Meyer, man, his team continues to be the commuter car stuck in rush hour, gridlock traffic, just idling, burning gas. That is Jacksonville. And they're not showing any real signs of progress. And I took Jacksonville plus the points. I actually lost the game in Benny versus the Penny. We pick every game there. One of the thinking was, well, even in a situation like this, Jacksonville, the Rams are really scuffling. Jacksonville will be able to show something. And unless you are looking at a 16-7 deficit at halftime being a big accomplishment for Urban Meyer's team, that's about the only positive you can take out of this, that at least at halftime, you were only down by nine. Right? There's a feather in the cap for Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, the most damning statement that can be made about Trevor Lawrence is that even when being boat raced, he's been unable to put up numbers. And typically, even if you're a young player and you're at a bad team, that's one of the things you can take advantage of. And Trevor Lawrence continues to be motionless in the passing game, and not even the garbage time statistic, the stat bandit that we see so much of in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence hasn't even been able to do that. the offense, whether it's a blowout or whether it's a close game, is humdrum. It's as dull as dishwater, and so you look at the big picture, and the Jags, they ought to move to Oregon. They should move to boring Oregon because that's the way they played all year. Urban Meyer's team now 2-10 on the year. He has I think the number is twice as many now losses as any team he's coached during 17 seasons on the collegiate gridiron. And bouncing around, we know him from Florida and Ohio State, but he was also at Utah and Bowling Green. And this is the very bottom there. And the Jags have 5 games left. Now, they have 2 games that are winnable. They play the Texans again, who they lost to begin the year. And Jacksonville plays at the Jets, also a winnable game. So assuming they win both of those games and lose the other games, then this is a 4-13 season. And despite all of that, Urban Meyer is not going anywhere. And if you gave me $1,000 and said, what's going to happen? I would say that Urban Meyer is going to continue on as Jacksonville's coach for another season, that he's in it for at least one more year. Now, I thought that all along, but with all of these massive college jobs open all around the same time, and the trickle down, and you figured Urban Meyer's name was going to pop up somewhere, and it's likely through back channels that schools reached out to Urban Meyer to see if he was going to be willing to leave the NFL at the end of the year. And all of those jobs are about filled now. Oklahoma announcing that they've made their decision over the weekend. SC got the big jewel of the coaching search, and you look around, you're like, well, where is Urban going to go, the game of musical chairs? Other than back to television and back to Fox to do TV, there is no landing spot for Urban Meyer. And he did not end up being connected with any kind of real substance to a high-profile coaching job. So he continues on. Now, next season, assuming that Jacksonville keeps Urban around and he does not quit for health reasons, and if the team's continuing to play like this, then Urban, at that point, gets fired. He doesn't get another opportunity if it continues the way it's going right now. But, man, that is a lifeless, dreary, pathetic, disgusting football operation there in Jacksonville. My goodness. Holy cannoli. What the heck is that all about? All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on. Let's go back to the Rams here. The Rams winning, playing more of a physical style of play by Rams standards after all that finesse stuff. And Matthew Stafford, who'd been in a slump, here is Sean McVay now talking about where his quarterback's at this point.
Matthew, he played like he's been playing. I think we were able to avoid, you know, just a couple of those little things that do come up. But he's a great leader today. He's always been a great leader, and he played great. Not in the least bit surprised.
All right, so there's Sean McVay. How about Matthew Stafford here on trusting and teaching the younger players? Well, that's just what I want to hear Matthew Stafford talking about.
Those guys can do it. And I've got all the faith in the world in Van and Ben and some of the guys that are younger that are getting kind of their first opportunities in this league. Push them because I know they can do it. You know, I wouldn't sit there and push them if I didn't think they could. Continue to find ways to help them learn.
Push it, push it, push it. That's a song, I think. It's an old.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So TMZ caught up with Kenny Smith over the weekend, who then blasted Tom Thibodeau's benching of Kemba Walker, saying that Walker is a Ferrari and Tibbs just doesn't know how to drive. Ben, agree or disagree?
All right, so I disagree. I've seen Kemba the last couple of years with the Celtics, and he's get traded to Oklahoma City and got the buyout. He's a BMW with 300,000 miles on it that's headed to the salvage yard. That's Kemba Walker at this point. He's bounced around the NBA. And the idea of Kemba Walker is better than the reality of Kemba Walker. He's an erratic shooter. He's got chronic arthritic knees, and he cannot play defense. He's a liability on defense. Other than that, he's fine. Next!
Barry Bonds is in his final year of eligibility. Now,
I don't know what cheating is.
To this point, he'd never received more than 61.8% of the required 75% to make the cut. Now, John Heyman of MLB Network revealed that he had added Bonds to his ballot this year, saying that what he did before 98 is enough to get him in. And apparently he didn't take anything before 98, according to, people. Ben, are you down with that logic?
No, listen, John Heyman's a hack. He's, typical hard-o baseball writer looking for attention. If you're anti-steroid, then you're anti-steroid. Jeffrey Dahmer was a great guy up until he started eating people on a cannibal diet. Before that, he was a fine human being. Listen, we have said for several years since they started putting steroid guys in, Piazza, Bagwell, Pudge Rodriguez, let them all in. That's our position. Heyman's a dope. Next.
Mac Jones is likely the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year, and many are marveling at how quickly Bill Belichick has bounced back from losing Brady. Ben, we've been talking about Belichick's replacement for a long time now, but do you think he might stick around for a lot longer with the future seeming so bright with Mac Jones?
Well, what's your definition of a lot longer? So he's going to turn 70 in April. The oldest coach in NFL history was 72. The oldest interim coach was Romeo Crennel at 73. I'll give Belichick four more years with the Patriots. How'd we do?
You pass this edition.
That's the winner. Put it on the board. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
And away we go. It's the Insta Advice Line Unscreen Radio. This is where we give back the sage wisdom of the average sports talk radio caller. Can help someone in the world of sports, and who needs our advice this week? Well, no one swayed me away from the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings for now, following a loss, a game where the Lions led by as many as 14 points. Vikings had the lead late and saw the Lions matriculate the ball down the field with Jared Goff to win the game. So we're going to give advice to Mike Zimmer. This portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by Discover Card, exceptionally common sense. Brought to you by Discover. We'll take as many calls as we can. If you're new to the show, this is Unscreen Radio. So as soon as you call in, it'll ring, 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 ring. And when you hear my voice, you are live on the air. There is no middleman. No middleman, no bureaucracy. It's just me and you. Keep it clean. And please do not attempt this if you are not a trained professional. Again, we're giving advice to Mike Zimmer on how to save his job in Minnesota. We'll start with you on line one. Hello, line one. You're on the air.
Should have listened to the Dixter and played better offense and defense.
That's right, and special teams. That's great advice. Well, Dick and Dayton is a great football pundit, much better than Chris Collinsworth, for example. Let's go to you on line two. Advice to Mike Zimmer on how to save his job in Minnesota.
Yeah, listen to Dixter and go fucking.
Okay, let's go to line three. Hello, line three. Another day
of
wonder.
$20.
Okay, yeah. I appreciate that. Check. I've actually got a bingo card here, Eddie, that I check off each box here depending on who calls in. I need the birthday guy for Roberto. We haven't heard from the Where's My Baseball guy in a long time. And, of course, our favorite caller from Boston. Hello,
and
line
Fudgy.
Four.
We need Fudgy.
Yes. Fudgy. Line four, hello.
Hello?
All right, line five is next. Hello, line five. It's the Insta Advice Line. No wasted time. Line five is next. Hello.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Oh, there we go. Happy birthday to you.
Four more days.
Every day is your birthday, Roberto.
Yeah.
In fact, on your birthday, we're not actually going to wish you a happy birthday because it's your birthday. All right, let's go. Let's go to line six is next. Hello, line six.
Oh, happy birthday, Roberto.
Hey, happy birthday. Yeah. Back to back and belly to belly. For Roberto, line one is next. Hello, line one.
Number one.
Bring back the purple people eaters. You lost Super Bowls.
Okay, thank you. Line two, we're giving advice to Mike Zimmer on how to save his Vikings coaching job after losing to the Detroit Lions, the previously winless Lions. Hello, line two.
He needs a Miller Lite and some Poutang.
Okay, yes. Well, Canada, of course, poutine, very wonderful dish there. Line three is next. Hello, line three.
$2, $3.
All right, that guy got in it again. 877-99 on Fox is the number. We need Pencil Neck to call in. We haven't heard from him in a while. Hello, line four. You are next, line four.
Holler and James for quarterback.
Well, Tammy in Montana, James, there's your favorite caller of all time.
Where are the white women at?
Shouting your name out, hollering, James. How exciting is that? Line five is next. Hello, line five.
He should take some advice from Matt Nagy.
Yeah, there you go. Take advice from Matt Nagy. That's working out very well for
Coach
Nagy.
Take that for data.
In Chicago. Line six is next. It's the instant advice line. In a split second, you could be on the air if you call us up here at 877-99 on Fox. Hello, line six. All right, line six is not there. Still no fudgy call there from Boston. Hello, line one. You're on the air, line one. Go.
What a shocker. The crappy New England Patriots are on the fast track to the Super Bowl because the officials refuse to call penalties against that team.
All right. That's our buddy from Maine who loves the Patriots, unless he does it. Let's do one more, only one more. If it's good, I'll take credit. If not, I'll blame the Cooper Loop. Final call, instant advice, line Coop.
Line four.
Line four, you're on the air, line four.
Yeah, boy, you sure have a...
Oh, boy.